Our Bibles out this morning and turn to Proverbs chapter 3. We continue to work through this amazing book. Just to remind you, we believe that Proverbs is the first nine chapters are basically one section of Solomon's writing, and then chapters 10 through 21 are a collection of his proverbs in the days of King Hezekiah, and then the rest of Proverbs are assorted proverbs of Solomon plus others of King Agar and King Lemuel to the very end of the book. And so there's a design and a way this book is put together. But the first nine chapters are particularly clearly Solomon's instruction to his son. And of course, that does not exclude young women from listening. For God's truth is for everyone, whether it's given to a man or a woman to learn by. Last time we looked at verses 11 and 12 about the discipline of the Lord. And I'd like us to continue to the end of this chapter today. But I want us again to start at verse 1 and read to the end of the chapter for our scripture reading. Or rather, to verse 26. Let's hear the word of God. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe His reproof. For whom the Lord loves, He reproves. Even as a father the son in whom he delights. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For its profit is better than the profit of silver, and its gain than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. And happy are all who hold her fast. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding He established the heavens. By His knowledge, the deeps were broken up and the skies drip with dew. My son, let them not depart from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Let's pray together. Father, we believe that your word is inspired by the Holy Spirit, that these words are your words from Solomon, who was given the gift of wisdom by you. And so we ask that you'd help us to see each word, each verse, as your message to us here today, that you are here by your Holy Spirit's presence and by the truth of your word, you're speaking to us. So I pray that you give us ears to hear, understanding in our minds, and that we would choose the ways of your wisdom in how to live in this world. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now there's a couple of things to remind you about Proverbs. It really is God's word, inspired by the Holy Spirit. It has very little of what we would call the Old Testament ceremonial laws that have to do with worshiping at the temple. It's almost every word pure thought from God. It is God's truth about how he wants people to live in this world, whether you're Jew in Israel in the Old Testament or Gentile. And in the New Testament, the book of Proverbs still applies to every Christian, because it's talking about the wisdom that is from God. And his wisdom doesn't change from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And he wants us to live according to these Proverbs as part of the teaching of Jesus. In fact, Jesus used the Proverbs. Peter and Paul used the Proverbs to teach Christians. The second thing is that because these words come from God, they are part of God's will for man to love God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. They are based upon the Ten Commandments. So when you read a proverb, you should be thinking, which commandment is this trying to explain? To love God, to love my neighbor, to not bear false witness and speak the truth, to not steal and rather be honest in my business. What is it talking about here? And connect all of God's word together in that proverb. And the third thing is Jesus Christ lived every one of these proverbs perfectly. He fulfilled the law and the prophets. If you want to know how he thought and what his morals were and what he wants you to live by and become like him, you have to read the Proverbs, because he fulfilled them. Every single one of them. All the way from honoring his own father and mother when he was perfect and they were not, to the way he conducted business in the carpenter shop and never cheated a customer and always stood by his work, being faithful. All through the Proverbs, we see Jesus Christ, if we would understand how the Bible fits together. And I encourage you to read them in that light. But today we come in chapter 3 to verses 13 and 14, where we have a blessed. And the word blessed in the Old Testament and the New Testament means really to be happy. In fact, he says down here that those who find the ways of wisdom in verse 18 are happy. Happy are all those who hold her fast, who take hold of God's wisdom and will not let it go. That is first in their mind. That is what they want to do. They hold fast God and his ways. This is how to find happiness. The first psalm, blessed is the man, happy is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Happy, happy, happy is all through the Proverbs. Blessed. This is God's way, God's rules for happiness. To know him, to submit yourself to him, to learn his truth, and to follow it. He promises a happy life. He does not promise that you will have complete being free of all affliction and trial. In fact, he says, do not be afraid of sudden fear in verse 25, nor of the onslaught of the wicked. And he doesn't say, because I'm not going to let it come. He says, when it comes. that we live in a fallen world with fallen creatures that sin against each other. And we're going to experience that as Christians. But there is a way to be blessed, to be happy in this world, in spite of the evil and the sin, the dishonesty at work, the immorality between men and women, and women and women, and men and men. There is a way to be happy in marriage, happy in raising children, happy at work, happy in a church. And it is God's way. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, verse 13 of Proverbs 3. And the man who gains understanding. For its profit is better than the profit of silver, and its gain than fine gold. When we come to this passage of Scripture, in trying to understand how to bring what Solomon is doing here, it's been a bit difficult to come to an overall picture. But what I have found in chapters 1 through 9, which is Solomon's main instruction section to his son, is that he compares wisdom from God with the thinking of the world. One is the way of righteousness, one is the way of wickedness. Man in his natural thinking is the way of wickedness. God in his thinking is the way of blessing and righteousness. And these two are compared with each other all the way through the book of Proverbs. But in Proverbs 1 through 9, there's another comparison that is so interesting. And the comparison is in ways of personification. Now, when I say personification, it means that God takes something that is not a living person, and yet he makes it appear to be speaking as a person. And he does this with wisdom. You'll notice in verse 15, he says, "She is more precious than jewels." Wisdom. "And nothing you desire compares with her." So he personifies in these chapters wisdom as a wonderful woman. A woman who is good and kind and wise and loving, who blesses a man. And he's actually telling his son, choose wisdom over the harlot. And all through these chapters, we're going to find that he personifies wisdom as a woman at least four times, referring to her in the feminine pronoun. And at the same time, he characterizes the harlot four times as the woman that a young man must avoid at all costs, lest he die. Now, he's speaking of real women in that case, but it's very interesting to me that at the end of the book of Revelation, the whole world system of leading the soul away from God into Satan's bonds, making you live according to your own desires and pleasures and feelings instead of God's thinking and God's righteousness and God's love, is personified as a harlot. Fallen is Babylon the Great, says Christ to the Apostle John. All the kings of the earth have come, and all the merchants of the earth, and all the people of the earth have committed harlotry with her, to follow their own pleasures, their riches, her gold, her wealth, her beauty, attracted to the world system instead of the wisdom of God. And I think that Solomon in these nine chapters is trying to do that with his son. Wisdom is a wonderful woman. Do not go away from her to follow the harlotry of this world and its promise of false pleasures and blessings and false happiness. So we come to this section, Proverbs 13, to the end of the chapter, and we find him describing for his young man the way of blessedness. and blessedness is Sophia, wisdom, the wisdom of God. So what I want to do this morning is try to describe this wisdom, this Sophia, this woman that brings blessing into a young man's life, or in applying it to young women, into her life. What to avoid in terms of the wickedness of the harlotry of this world, and what blessings God does promise to those who love him and trust him and seek to follow his words in this life. So first of all, in verses 14 and 15, he says that wisdom's profit is better than silver and its gain than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. And here in this passage, he contrasts the personal desires of the human soul, which is fallen, wanting to have everything your way, wanting to have things your way so you will have pleasure and it will be easy for you or better for you. He contrasts the natural selfish bent of man and our own desires for how we wish to live and how we wish our life to be with wisdom. And for most of men, in some place, those desires include the pursuit of gold and silver, money, or the admiration of the beautiful things of life, fine jewels. But he says to this young man that the profit of wisdom is better than the profit of gold. There's a lot of talk about gold today in the world. It's gone up in price. People are speculating on gold, investing in gold, not saying it's wrong, simply saying that our security as Christians doesn't apply to gold or silver or precious jewels, investment diamonds. That her profit, the profit of wisdom, is beyond things that we want. There's a joy, a happiness in wisdom that cannot be found in any material possession or pursuit in this world. A happiness in knowing God, in living in fellowship with God, of knowing that your life is following God's way, is of more profit than any beautiful house or gold or silver or jewels. And the sad thing is, so many in this world will sacrifice submission and trust of God for what they can gain in the world. Jesus often told stories about this. In Luke 12, verse 15, he said to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." You know, and that's the sad thing. So many people in this world basically define themselves by what they own and what they get to do. It's so sad. And it's wonderful to go fishing. I love fishing. It's wonderful to play golf. I love golf. It's wonderful to watch football. I love football. Basketball. But when those things become the consuming purpose of your life, they are your God. The things of the world, the attention, the praise of people because you look beautiful or because you've accomplished much, are intoxicating. But they're just another form of greed and self-absorption, self-interest, showing how unconcerned you really are with others, how love is not in your heart. There's nothing more beautiful than love to God and man in this world that comes from the wisdom that God gives, that sees that it is more beautiful than anything you can desire or possess. Jesus said, "The land of a man was very productive," in Luke 12, 16, and he began reasoning to himself, saying, "What shall I do since I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns, build bigger barns, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, this man was looking to his possessions as be that which satisfies that he is important, that he means something, that his life is worth something. I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? How passing is the things of this world. So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Wisdom makes you rich toward God. Wisdom has a profit that is beyond what you own or the schemes and desires of what you think would be the best life for you to have. That's so self-centered. It's so self-ruled. For when the creature comes to see that they are made by the Creator and owned by Him and have been redeemed at the cost of His own Son's blood to become a child of God forever, that creature no longer seeks to live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again on their behalf. There's a change of your whole nature, of your whole desire and how to think when wisdom becomes that which is profitable to you. And so Jesus said, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? For what will he give in exchange for his soul? So here at this point in Proverbs chapter 3, he is trying to reason with his son. Son, just think a minute. Your desires, what you want out of life, things that men go after, gold and silver and jewels, they think that's important. They think that's what makes them secure. That's what makes them happy. Wisdom's riches are far above that. Take hold of wisdom and do not let her go. She is like a woman who is wonderful, that a man finds and considers himself blessed to have. She is more precious than jewels. Nothing you desire compares to her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways. All her paths are peace. She is a tree of life. That's the salvation of God, the tree of life. She is the tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are those who hold her fast. See, happiness doesn't come from what you possess or what you own or what other people think of you. Happiness comes from trusting in God and believing in His love and grace toward you and how He wishes to live His best for you. Not something you have to do, but because He is so good, it's the best to do. And you trust Him. Others may be lying at school, trying to trap you into a lie, make you part of their group. But those who have the wisdom of God say, this is not wise to lie. First of all, your sins always find you out. The Bible says so. Second, Jesus Christ has commanded you shall not bear false witness. And I care more about Him than my friends. Lying always begets other lies, which have no end until you are destroyed and you destroy others. Therefore, I'm going to look to Jesus Christ. And if my friends reject me because I will not lie, they are not my friends. Wisdom has a greater profit than gold and silver and jewels and other people's opinions. Wisdom comes from God. And so in this part of Proverbs, Proverbs 3, I'll just give you the listing, Proverbs 4, 6 through 9. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. It's like he's wooing his son with this wonderful woman, wisdom, who will bless him, who will make him what a man should be, who will make his life happy, that she is the answer to the impartialness of man, or incompleteness of man. As God made Eve out of Adam to be the helper fit for him to become the man of God that he should be. Not for her will, but for God's will. Not for her desires, but for Adam's desires and his work in the world and all that he does. So wisdom is that wonderful woman that a man finds that makes him complete. Do not forsake her. She will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1, we won't read the whole chapter is about wisdom, personified as a wonderful woman. Does not wisdom call and understanding lift up her voice? She calls, come to me. Come, and I will bless you. Verse 11 of Proverbs 8, for wisdom is better than jewels and all desirable things. Cannot compare with her. To know God and to know your purpose in this world and how God wants you to live is the best thing there is. And very few people find that in life. And they spend their wheels all their life running from this to that to this to that and the other and end up dying bitter old men and women who somebody else will possess their possessions and them never knowing the joy of being right with God. But there's something better than riches. The Lord Jesus Christ had nowhere to lay his head, the Bible says. And yet when you look at his life of unselfish love and patience with ignorance, forgiveness of sin against his disciples and even his enemies, you have to say his life is the best life that was ever lived. No one loved God with all their heart like he did. No one loved their neighbor like he did. No one loved his own beloved sheep like he did and laid down his life for them that they may live eternally at his side forever. Wisdom is Jesus Christ. He had this beautiful woman, wisdom, in his heart and in his mind. And look at the life he lived. My son, choose wisdom. Now, we're going to come back to this in a minute. But I want us to move on, secondly, to wickedness as a harlot. For all the way through Proverbs, the way of righteousness and the way of wickedness is contrast. The way of wisdom and the way of ignorance is contrast. In chapter 5, verse 3, he says to his son, for the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and smoother than oil is her speech. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of Sheol. And he spends in chapter 5 this warning against his son to choose wisdom over a harlot, because that happens to be one of the most difficult areas for men to resist, falling into the sin of adultery and all the things that are associated with that. Choose wisdom over the harlot. Chapter 6, verse 24. To keep you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress, do not desire her beauty in your heart, nor let her catch you with her eyelids. Now, contrary to the way some people teach this, this is not all about the reason a man falls into adultery is because of the woman. That is a sinful and ignorant interpretation of these texts and has done great destruction to the Church of Jesus Christ. This is about a young man having wisdom not to yield himself to those temptations, as well as the condemnation on the harlot's behavior. He is the one who gives himself into sin. He doesn't recognize the beauty of wisdom compared to being overcome and persuaded just by the beauty of a woman. But Proverbs, over and over, tries to persuade the young man that wisdom, having wisdom in your mind, knowing God's way, is more important than the momentary pleasures of a beautiful woman. In fact, in one of my favorite proverbs, he tells his son, like a ring in a pig's nose, so is a beautiful woman who lacks discretion. You may see a very beautiful woman as a young man and be immediately, your eyes just run there. Man, she is good looking. But she may not know the Lord. She may have no wisdom from God. She may not have in her heart the love of God to protect herself from falling into sin with a young man. She may be so far away from God that she uses all her beauty to attract a young man into her bosom, because that's the only thing she thinks she's worth, her outward beauty. And it's so sad when a woman thinks that way. But it's even sadder that men will take advantage of women like that. Like a gold ring in a pig's nose, so is a beautiful woman who lacks discretion. A gold ring is just not very pretty in a pig's nose, I'll just tell you right now. And our daughters need to hear that proverb and understand that beauty is from the inside. The soul that overcomes selfishness and loves is no longer looking for self. Now, it's interesting to me, again, as I read through the book of Proverbs, turn with me to Proverbs 31, that by referring, and there are several other times I didn't read you, telling the young man to avoid the harlot, it's almost as if the issue of harlotry is the personification of a young man giving himself over into ungodliness and worldliness, putting his desires of his heart ahead of God's will. But in Proverbs 31, I don't think it's an accident that the last words of Proverbs are a wise woman described. A woman who personifies wisdom as a woman. A woman who is the opposite of the woman of the world, the harlot who sells herself for a loaf of bread. And this is what Proverbs wants the young man to leave with when he finishes reading it. And as I read this passage, young men, you should look upon this as a description of the kind of woman God is calling you to seek and find to marry, who loves God first, who loves God's wisdom first, and does not seek to manipulate you and attract you just by her physical beauty or by the manipulations that she's learned to attract a man. And this is a wonderful passage for you young women to understand how unselfish and godly this woman is, how she has dedicated herself to be what God wants her to be to her husband. She does not manipulate him to get her way and get him to serve her. She doesn't even think of that. It's not even mentioned here. This whole passage is about her devoting herself to helping her husband become what he can be. That he is known in the gates of the city because of her. That as God made Eve to complete Adam and become the godly man that he could be, to rule the world and to subdue the earth, so this woman has found in God a trusting God that she can follow in her role as a woman to be wise. This is what she should seek to become. And so all through Proverbs we have this contrast between wisdom as a godly and wonderful woman and harlotry as the woman of the world. We come to this embodiment of a woman who is far different from the self-centeredness of the harlot and is so dedicated to live by God's wisdom that she is beautiful from the inside. Proverbs 31:10. An excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her. Do you see the jewels here? The heart of her husband trusts in her. He will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She is so set on doing her husband good that there's no room for evil to come. She has a positive ministry toward her husband to bring him good. Just as he is to have the positive ministry to bring her good. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax. She works with her hands in delight. She's like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is still night, gives her food to her household, portions to her maidens. She is always thinking of others first. She's not trying to get her maidens to get up and fix her breakfast. She is cooking for the whole household to get it started in all its work first. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. And she senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, to the poor, and her hands grasp the spindle. That is, she decides to make clothes for the poor. She extends her hand to the poor. She stretches out her hands to the needy. And as far as her own household, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She's always thinking of them. And for her own clothing, she makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. She dresses up for her husband's joy and to show respect for him in the community. And she makes, in every way she can, saving corners, she makes her own clothing, but it's not ratty clothing. It's linen and fine purple. Her husband is known in the gates. See that guy over there? She's his wife. And the guy says, oh, he must be really something to catch a woman like that. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes garments and sells them, supplies belts to the tradesmen. She's got jobs on the side, industrious, making some money. She never neglects the way of her own household, but she is industrious in many ways. Her strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. And with all of those things she does, and all the pressure she's under, and all the activities she's in, She opens her mouth in wisdom. And the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Wisdom, kindness. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. What a wonderful woman. So much more wonderful than the self-absorbed harlot or the whole world condition that attracts a young man away from God and his righteousness and goodness to spoil himself and to ruin himself with his own desires. This woman is the earthly embodiment of wisdom. In the way she loves and honors her husband and takes care of her household and children, she is absorbed with serving, and her children rise up and bless her. And I'll tell you, I'm not a woman, obviously, but when your children come to you and say, "Mom, it has been such a blessing to have you as a mother. There is no diamond, there is no gold or silver or house that you can live in that will compare to the riches of that, the joy of that." Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all." There is nothing to compare to a woman than her husband to come and say, "You know, there are many wonderful women in this world, but you excel them all, and I'm so blessed that God gave you to me." What riches can you compare with that? And so he concludes, "Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain," that is, empty. Charm is deceitful. It promises what it cannot deliver. Beauty is vain because it's shallow. It may be beautiful, but it can be very shallow. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. There's some things more profitable than silver and gold and cherished desires that you've built up all your life, or you think you have to have, or things have to be a certain way in this world, and people have to be a certain way, and your husband or your wife have to be a certain way for you to be happy. Happiness is not found in others or things. It is found in Jesus Christ and within yourself with him. In finding the wisdom of God, a God who sent his Son into this world to die for your sins. A God who has loved you from before the foundation of the world, seeing your fallen condition and moving his heart to rescue you out of sheer grace and kindness, not because you deserve anything. That is wisdom. That is kindness. That is mercy. That is greater profit than anything this world has to offer. And it looks like a woman in Proverbs 31 or a man in the Gospels of Jesus Christ. "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf," Paul said. "And for those who are at Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged." He wanted them to be happy. "That their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." The Lord Jesus Christ is wisdom incarnate. It is finding a God who forgives of sin and is willing to sacrifice his Son to bring many sons to glory. It is the wisdom of love to to cherish those who are unworthy of love and to adopt them into his kingdom as his children. The wisdom of God beyond riches is the wisdom that causes the Holy Spirit to invade your heart and make you a new creature that no longer loves sin, that no longer is self-absorbed, that now considers this God who sent his Son for me as wiser than I could ever be wise, and chooses God and his wisdom in the face of Jesus Christ above all other things. And the promise of the Bible is happiness. You may be afflicted, he said in Proverbs chapter 3, but you will understand that God has a purpose in affliction, to bear witness to his gospel and glory in the world, as well as to make you the person that you need to be. And your plans and your desires that you think are necessary for you to be happy, he may never meet, but his wisdom is always the better plan to help you to become the person that reflects the glory of God and the image of God that you were first made to be. So you trust him and submit your will to his words. When he warns you not to do this, you don't do it. When he encourages you to do that, you trust in him and do it even if you don't understand everything about it, because you trust him. Therefore, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and being built up in him and established in your faith just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive, and that's the harlot of Proverbs. See that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Realize who he is, and that he is the same yesterday and today and forever, that you will never know God or life or wisdom or goodness until you come to him and live in him and follow him. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you've been made complete. And he's the head over all rule and authority. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom, that is Jesus Christ. And the man who gains understanding. For its profit is better than the profit of silver, and its gain than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant, all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all those who hold her fast. If young men would be more concerned about taking hold of wisdom instead of taking hold of young women, they would be far better off. If young women would be more concerned about taking hold of Jesus Christ as their wisdom instead of young men, they'd be far better off. For God has promised, and Christ rose from the dead to prove it. And there from an empty tomb, we look and see wisdom. The wisdom of God is more beautiful, more desirable, a greater blessing than anything this world has to offer. And if you love Jesus Christ, you will seek to follow his wisdom. Let's pray. I pray that you'd help all of us, Lord, to come to you. Believe that in you are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You lived the Proverbs. The Proverbs were inspired by the Spirit you sent. You yourself know what is best for us. And I pray that you'd help us to surrender our will to you, to submit our will to you, to learn your wisdom, and to trust that in so doing, you will bless us, not because we are perfect, but because you are a perfect Savior, a perfect teacher, a prophet, a priest, a king. And I pray that you'd help all of us here, especially the young men and women here, to pursue wisdom. We pray in Jesus' name.